to know the mind of God for their lives and for all our lives, that we might be drawn closer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for those who are not saved to be saved, because salvation is of the power of God himself. Now, our reading tonight will be in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, starting at verse 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now we often speak the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we speak of different aspects of the person of Christ, of his humanity, of his deity. But the gospel is really not that hard to understand. The gospel, we are told in Matthew's Gospel 16 and 21 that he spoke to his disciples, or to those people that were with him, those people that followed him the closest. He said to them that he would be killed and suffer many things, and he would rise again. So he told his own that he was going by the way of death, and before that death, he would suffer many things at the hands of men, and that he would be killed. Now, he had received this commandment from his father, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again." We read from Scripture that it clearly tells us that he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, and he, in essence, was dead. And on the third day, he arose again from the dead. You know, and as he was in that scene, as he spoke of his death to come, he also told them that he would be betrayed by one of his own. And he was betrayed by Judas. And Judas betrayed him with a kiss, a friend who came up to him and kissed him, and thereby identifying him as the Christ, the Son of God. And at that point, he was seized. He was brought before several courts of trial at night, which was illegal. And he was also beaten. A lash was laid across his back. And he was declared guilty. And he was declared guilty on two fronts. One for blasphemy, because he called himself the Son of God. And two for treason. And then he was blindfolded. There was insults. There was humiliation. There was mocking. And they laid the lash upon his back. He says, "Deep were the furrows made upon my back." They lashed his back. And after that, they led him that he might go to Calvary, to Golgotha, to the place of the skull, to be crucified. And there they crucified him. And man laid their hand upon him. They nailed him to that cross. They uplifted that cross between heaven and earth. And from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was a great darkness over all the land. And in those three dark hours, very God himself put that penalty of sin upon his son. One who knew no sin, who did no sin, laid the penalty upon him. And his final words to his father from the cross were, "The Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." He dismissed his spirit willingly. Man did not take his life from him. We do read that he gave up the ghost. Then we have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the body of Christ. Once God had dealt with him, no unruly hand ever touched him. The servants of God came and took him from the cross. There was no indignity, no embarrassment. He was taken lovingly down from the cross. Now, the Jews, they requested three things. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they prepared the body with spices, placed him in a new tomb. But the Jews wanted to make sure that he was sealed because they remembered that he said on the third day he would arise from the dead. They did three things. One, they made sure that the stone was secure. Two, they set the seal of Rome upon it. And three, they set a guard that no one would open that. And so there we have that scene. The Lord Jesus Christ in a tomb, sealed, a stone rolled, and a guard set. And that was the assumption of man that they could stop the resurrection of the Son of God from very death itself. Oh, it was. It was a dark night. The grave was silent. There was no light shining. Guards there. Not a whisper, just a man and death. But then the morning came, and those that came out to the grave, what did they see? They seen a stone rolled away. We never read that the seal was broken, but the stone was rolled away. The seal had no authority, and the guards were gone. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." And that really is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to read one more verse, and that's in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 17, and it said, speaking of John the Apostle, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Now, you might be asking yourself, what does that have to do with blind Bartimaeus on the side of a road? Because a blind man came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. A blind man seeing what others with sight could never see. A blind man seeing what the crowds that followed the Lord Jesus Christ into Jericho could perhaps for most of them not see. Because they followed him out of perhaps curiosity. Perhaps they followed him that in some way they might get something or some satisfaction or see a miracle, perhaps. But here was a man, and he was by the side of the highway. I wonder what Bartimaeus thought that morning when his day started. Oh, I'm sure for many years, perhaps, they had walked past him. He had become a fixture at the side of the road. A man, perhaps, sitting in the dust, with his hands out, perhaps begging or with a plate. And just for a geographical reference and a secular bit of history, Jericho is the lowest elevation below sea level of any continual city or town in the world. So where was this man positioned? He was positioned by the Dead Sea. And what was the fertility? What was the beauty of that scene? Nothing. It was salt. It stung the eyes. It stung everything that he touched. If he put his hands upon the dirt and took them to his mouth, it stung of the sting of salt. That's what that man knew. The lowest place, the very geographically lowest place of a continually existing town. The Lord Jesus that we read went out into the wilderness to pray. But he would go to the ends of the world to preach the gospel, to tell of his Father in heaven, to tell that he was the Son of God who came to save men and women and boys and girls, that they might have eternal life for time and for eternity. That was his purpose. That's why he came. That's where he went. And he went with purpose. But there's also the other fact that very soon he would make his way up to Jerusalem. Soon there would come the Passover and the garden and Golgotha and Golgotha. That just simply means that for those of us that are not familiar, the Passover was a feast that the Jews kept. And they ate at that feast. And he instituted the emblems, the bread and the wine. So first say it's a symbolic meal of remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The garden, he went to a garden. And perhaps I cannot even imagine, but the Lord is associated with many gardens. God is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in this garden and he prays. And he prays so deeply. He's so moved that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew that sin was to be laid upon him. He was the Son of God, the sinless, the spotless one. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And it says that an angel came and ministered to him, lest he die. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his all. Golgotha, that he was taken to, it's just simply the judgment, a place of judgment. And there the Jews at night had their trials and they tried him. And Golgotha is simply Calvary itself, where the Lord Jesus Christ died and was lifted up. We read this, that of all this, that as we read that they went in, there was this crowd, this mass of people with them, but very, very soon, very soon, his disciples would be gone. The crowd would be placed with another multitude. And they weren't the multitude or the crowd that was seeking, perhaps show us a miracle. Perhaps I'm hungry. Provide to me food. Or perhaps I'm not well. Dear Lord, reach out and heal me of my physical ailment. No, that crowd, that later crowd would yell this. This would be on their voice. That soon we would hear the words, "Crucify him, crucify him, for we shall not have this man to rule over us. We have Caesar. Caesar is our king." Another word, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. It was not the words of love, lured words, soon to be replaced. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes in to Jericho, he comes to save one blind man. Not the city, not 100, not 1,000, not 5,000, but he came that he might save a individual who was sitting by the side of the road, valueless, perhaps passed by, of no significance. I don't know where you find yourself in life today. Perhaps you feel that you are insignificant. Perhaps you don't even know that there's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you and that longs to see you saved. The only thing he wants from you is to believe on his precious Son, that you might accept him as Lord and Savior, and he might be with you for not only in this life, but you will be with him in the next. We read from that hymn, on that cross alone forsaken, where no pitying eye was seen. That's what the world, that's what that crowd of onseekers was looking to see. Perhaps the disciples were in confusion. Why did he come to such a desolate place? Why did he come to such a place that was so physically unappealing? So hard to maneuver in. I'm sure as they walked along the Dead Sea and kicked up the dust, the salt brine was in the air and was in the particles, and it stung their tongues and their eyes. Why did he come here? We find out very shortly why he came. He came to save a blind man at the side of the road who could see what others could not see, yet he was blind. We come to that saying that he went to Jericho. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ where he said of another that he had to go to. Another person who happened to be a lady that sat by the well. And the Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went to seek an individual. He sought them out. So it wasn't the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ had a purpose in his heart to save an individual. And he is a God of individuals. He's a God for you. He's a God for me. He's a God that seeks you. He is a God that has sought me. And he talks to us through our conscience, perhaps, those quiet hours that we're alone. He is a seeking God. For he came into the world not to judge the world, but the world through him might be saved. He meets a woman out of a well, and what did he promise her? He said, I'll make springs of everlasting water to spring up within you. She goes away when he had told her. We read this, he told her everything that ever she did. And often we just hear about a few specifics of what he might have told. But the Lord Jesus Christ told her things that no man, woman, or child knew about her. He knew her thoughts. He knew her mind. He knew what she had done from birth to her present state. He could tell her what she would do in the future. And her reply to the men of the village was, is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ, the Messiah of God? And she accepted him as his Lord and Savior. And the beauty of this was that she told others. And she went into the town and told them. And they besought the Lord Jesus Christ that he might stay with them, that he might speak to them. And there was their affirmation of the person of Christ was this: we have heard him for ourselves. We have heard him for ourselves. And we believe. A blind man sat at the side of the road that could not see. He heard his name, and he could see that it was Jesus, the Son of God, who had come to seek and to save him who was lost. He also at another time went up to Jerusalem, and he went there, and he came to beside a pool. The sheep pool, it's called, it's a name, it's a pool, and people would lay there, and they're waiting for a miracle to appear, a miracle to happen. And there was a man lying by there who could not move on his own. And the Lord looked at him and knew he had laid there a long time, a long time. He said, I have no man to carry me. And the Lord Jesus said, what will that I should do unto thee? And the Lord said to him, take up thy bed and walk. And the man immediately stood up, took up his bed, and walked. So there is many times the Lord Jesus Christ had come to individuals, had come to see that perhaps they were the only ones saved. But there are many incidents where the Lord Jesus spoke, and there were many that heard his word. There are many that believed whom he said who he was. Not necessarily because of the miracles only proved who he was. Even the Jews said, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for you could not do what you do. You couldn't perform these miracles. You couldn't bring back. You couldn't heal the different sicknesses. You couldn't do any of these things unless God be with thee. And God was with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was God himself. It's interesting that for whatever reason that Bartimaeus heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for some reason that's not known to us, he called out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. That was his cry. I don't know, we read that the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. It's not that God will eternally or forever be reasoning with us. He gives us this lifetime to answer the question of, do we believe in his Son or not? Do we accept the Son as our Lord Jesus Christ or not? We're not given a specific time or length of time, but only that it has to be done in this life. And that is the fear, perhaps. This was the last chance that Bartimaeus had that he might receive his sight. There was a man, perhaps he heard, that could do miracles. He'd given sight to the blind before. He had raised the dead. He had made the lame to walk. He had done all these marvelous things. And it wasn't a cry of it wasn't that he just sat there and said, oh Jesus. It was a cry of desperation. A man of no chance, no human physician could ever heal. No operation. He was blind. So he calls out. Now we wonder why the crowd told them to be quiet. I'm sure there were many that were saying, oh, that's Jesus of Nazareth. And they were lining the road. And perhaps they thought because he was of no value and that it was becoming irritating that with this Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Perhaps there were those in the crowd that did not believe that he was the Messiah and were offended that he was calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There was a huge crowd. Perhaps some of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrins were there, and they didn't take the literal meaning of the throne of David that shall be an eternal throne, an eternal kingdom. They didn't accept that Christ was of the lineage of David. We have that in Matthew's gospel. The lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ through Mary, through Joseph, through Mary. So they tried to quiet him. And the amazing thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ stood still. The creator of heaven and earth, as he walked these streets, towns, cities, as he walked these paths, these forest paths and trails on the mountainside, these towns, these villages, all that he walked, he upheld the universe. He was the Son of God. All power is given unto me. All power. And the Lord Jesus Christ stands still. Also, it wasn't the first time that he had stood still. We read in God's word that one day he was walking and he looked up into a tree and there was a man, Zacchaeus, and he was up in a sycamore tree. And he said to Zacchaeus, come down, for this day I must abide with thee. And the man came down, and he accepted Christ. As he met in his house and talked, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. There was another time that the Lord stood still, and that was at a grave. And Lazarus had died, and his sisters Mary and Martha were upset. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ wept. See how he loved him, the crowd said. See how he loved him. He's not calling a man down now, but with his words, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth from the grave. He came forth. We'll read very shortly in verse number 50 that Bartimaeus, when he had received and was called to the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to Jesus. Sometimes we have to come down on our high horse of what we think we know and what we think we know of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might think that our opinion is the best opinion, the most logical opinion. I've often heard people say that I've read about this religion, I've read about that religion, and I think this one might fit me. That's not salvation. That's research. That's not salvation. That's ruling out others that don't fit your lifestyle. But God's salvation is this. It's in the person of his Son. It's a relationship that you will have with him for your life and for eternity. It has been indelibly put on my mind that my God is not my God or reward in death. He is a guide. He supports me. He draws near to me in this life that I might somehow struggle through. And yet, Many times he has the answers, but sometimes I'm reluctant to read those answers. But nonetheless, it is the person of Christ who longs to have a relationship with you, longs to draw near to you, longs for you to come to know him more intimately. And then, if he be not come, if we're not caught up in the air, and if we go by the way of death, that he is there for us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, for he loved us. And so we have blind Bartimaeus, and he's called to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was not a call that the Lord said, oh, bring him up. No. It was a command from the very Son of God himself. No man could refuse. No man could stop blind Bartimaeus, no matter what value or less value they put on him. When the command came from the very voice of the Son of God, let him be brought up. He was brought. No power on earth could sever that call, could ever stand in the way between a command of the Lord and Savior. Like he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Death could not prevent it. Satan could not prevent it. It was a command from the very lips of God himself. Bring forth that he might receive his sight. We thank thee that there were those that were around him and encouraged. There was an encouragement there. They said, be of good comfort. Arise, he calleth thee. There were some who were generally happy that he did come. And that's our heart's desire, that we would be genuinely happy if you accepted Christ as your own and personal Savior. To come to know one who loved you, that went to the cross and died for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. What would be your reply in heaven when you see him face to face? Or what will your reply be when you meet God in judgment and you say, I didn't really believe it. I didn't think it was true. God's word, God's plan, God's son, God's command. For no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he's brought forth, and there were those that were very happy to see him come to the Master, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see an incidental here, don't we, in verse 50? There's always a reality to what God tells us. There's always a reality to a story. The woman by the well left her water pot. Perhaps it was full of water. It would be too heavy for her to run back with it into the city. I don't know. But it says of blind Bartimaeus that he cast his garment, casting away his garment that he might come to Jesus. And it's probably very true. He cast it away, a blind man who could not see, so that perhaps he might not trip. Just a thought. Doesn't really mean that it's true. But when he came face to face with Jesus, the Lord asks him a question. The Lord knows what he needs. It's very obvious that he's blind. If I was blind and I know someone, the Lord Jesus Christ was there and could see me, isn't the most obvious thing that I would ask for? Is Lord, that I might receive my sight. But the Lord Jesus Christ isn't going to give you something that you don't ask for. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't going to bestow salvation upon your soul because you're a nice guy or a nice girl. The Lord Jesus isn't going to give you salvation because of your family connections or because of your wealth or lack of wealth or because you've done this good deed or that good deed. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to hear that cry, Lord, save me. And so the Lord requires of Bartimaeus that he puts into his own words. And the Lord says this, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Well, the blind man said to the Lord, that I might receive my sight. I wonder what our reply is when the Spirit of God comes to us and talks to us about the subject that we should be saved, that we should have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what our words are to him. Perhaps you're young and you say, well, perhaps not today. I've got 50, 60 more years to go. Perhaps I don't want to lose my friends. Or perhaps I'm involved in this, and if I accepted Christ as Savior, I wouldn't be able to have that involvement anymore. What would I do with my time? I wondered a couple of things when I got saved at 26. What was going to replace this or that? But you know, the beauty of God's salvation is this, is you have no appetite for it. That appetite wanes for the world. That appetite wanes for specific activities that even my unsaved parents weren't happy with. But they didn't say anything. So the Spirit of God has the power to work in our lives. But God will never force you to be saved. God will never put those words into your mouth and that you might ever accuse that you've been tricked into salvation. The Lord said, what will that I should do unto thee? And he answered, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go thy way. Now this is interesting. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And we read something else about him, that he wasn't just a blind man now that could see, but he was a seeing man that seen his Savior and followed him. There are many aspects of faith in Barnabas' life. And he had faith to cry out. He had faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could do something for him. He had faith when he asked. And you know what? He had faith when he received his sight. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says of Bartimaeus is that he had faith. And after he received the physical thing that he wanted, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, perhaps from that lowest of geological places on the earth, that town that was so many feet below sea level. And as he made his way up to Jerusalem, that he went in there, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And after death, perhaps he still followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he found out that it was spread among those that believed what the angel said, he is not here, he is risen. So we bring before you tonight not a man in the grave, but a man that sits upon the right hand of the Father in heaven on a throne. And I want you to know this with all sincerity of my heart. He's coming again. If I go away, I will come again. We pray that you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and Savior in this time, in your lifetime, that you might know him and have eternal life and be in heaven with the one who gave his life for you. Perhaps we'll just close in prayer.